back to Extension 720 on 720 WGN.
Coming up a little bit later in the show, Calvin Hayden's going to be here. He's performing in a way, the former Super Bowl champion. He was a Chicago Bear at one point, but he was a cornerback for the Indianapolis Colts, and he is famous for, unfortunately, running back an interception for a touchdown in the Super Bowl to beat the Bears when he was with the Colts. But Calvin Hayden is a Chicago product who went to the University of Illinois, and he will be part of the big workout, the world's biggest workout that's at Wrigley Field this Saturday morning with Orange Theory, and they're doing a big fundraiser for research for ALS. So Calvin Hayden will be in studio, and then we'll have live performance from the band Dead, D-E-H-D. And this is a really great story. You like this, Barbara. This is a story about both of these, the two in the band. There's three people in the band, but the two, they dated and broke up. And they stayed together as a band, and they are dealing with their sort
issues.
Of, yeah, their fallout, but they still are creating great music together. There's the difference between what they do on stage and what they do off stage. So we'll have that conversation coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Hamlet is on stage at Chicago Shakespeare Theater running through June 9th. The Shakespearean tragedy is not new to Chicago Shakes or to its director, Barbara Gaines. As a matter of fact, it was over 20 years ago when Gaines last directed Hamlet, and with this year being the 20th year of the theater's permanent home on Navy Pier, it's only fitting that Barbara brings the show back. But how different is it from back in the late 90s? I didn't see the show 20 years ago, but I saw this latest one. I just saw it this afternoon, and it's amazing as usual. Barbara's work at Chicago Shakespeare constantly reminds me of how Chicago is a world-class theater city, and we should thank our lucky stars that we have these performances gracing our stages. It's my pleasure to welcome Chicago Shakespeare Artistic Director and Director of Hamlet to Extension 720, Barbara Gaines. Barbara, great to see you.
It's great to be here.
I mean, for you, was that the intention to bring Hamlet back because of the anniversary, because of the 20th anniversary?
No, not at all. It just kept pulling on me. It kept pulling and pulling, and I didn't know why. And so I sat home one day. I said, all right, we're going to wrestle, Hamlet and I. We're going to see who wins. Why are you calling me? And so I for about 3 hours, I worked on the script, and I felt nothing. And I almost got up from my desk at home, and then I just decided, well, my phone is always on shuffle. I played some music, and the first song up was one I had never heard before, because I always mistakenly buy you know, albums when I want to buy a song. And I listened to a song that I recognized how I could get into Hamlet. Hmm. I'll give you the lyrics of it. Time moves on. In the falling rain, I still think of you and whisper your name. Will I see you once again? I could never say goodbye to the sadness in my heart. You will always be. Well, all right. I realized as I heard that song that I had not properly mourned for my dad's death, which was 30 years ago.
Oh.
And I went, oh, my God. It just made me feel that Hamlet hadn't had time to mourn for his dad before that ghost comes and says, I was murdered. And before he sees his mother making love to his uncle and the body of his father is still warm in the grave. And so I went, oh, my God, I can get into this. But it's got to be a very intimate and very personal. So I went, I don't want much of a set. I want the greatest actors I can find, and just simply tell the story of father and son and the spirit world, as you know, and what it means to be alive, contemplating that one day you won't be.
The play starts off, and it's tremendous, and that's what I love about theater and Chicago and what you guys do. But this the amazing effect of being able to have a rainstorm on stage, in control, obviously, but a rainstorm that starts and shows the immediate grieving, the immediate mourning of Hamlet to the death of his father.
Yeah.
There's something about that both strikes you as, okay, this is a great way to start the play because you're like right in it, you know what this is about. But secondly, the effect is so strong, and your team and you and your team there to be able to have that, it automatically makes your heart skip a beat because you recognize this is something you can't see every day.
That's right. And it's something that we all have in common, other deaths of people we love. And suddenly, there he is with a flower in his hand, as he lays it on his dad's grave. And it makes us more human, to tell you the truth, mm-hmm. because it makes us more aware of the value and the fragility of life, right? I mean, Hamlet comes home from school and he sort of figures, well, Dad, you know, he had a stroke or he had a heart attack, and bam, he was just gone. And then immediately he sees his mother and his uncle, and he had no idea. Mm-hmm. And he realizes, man, this is not a new relationship.
Right. And also what
she
I
was
love
unfaithful.
About it, what I love about it is there is a press from the other characters to move on. That he has not. What are you doing? You're holding it too long. You're gonna sink into madness. Why are you holding on to this? We're at a party. Why? What is your problem?
Yeah, Claudius, his uncle, says this is unmanly grief. Get over it. Just get over it. Everybody dies.
Everybody dies.
And the poor kid, you know, Hamlet is just like, my dad just died. My rock, my foundation, right? The earth beneath my feet has passed on, and everybody's partying. What? I mean, the soldiers say everybody's partying, and you're going, wait a minute.
I'm always blown away, because when you take such a popular play, a Shakespearean tragedy, this Hamlet, you feel like, because that story is so well known, that there is only one way to tell it. But when you watch over and over Hamlet be produced and directed, you can focus in on one aspect of the character, or you can pull out or suss out one relationship from the text. How difficult is it to do that as a director, to be able to find something new out of a play that everybody knows?
That's a great question, and I think I have the only answer I can give you, which is 90% of directing is casting. You get a great cast as Hamlet, by person by person. I couldn't have done better.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is all new, because we investigate. I mean, we talk about how would we feel? How would we feel if somebody in our family was having a sexual relationship with somebody else in our family, you know, at somebody's funeral?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happens in so many families. So you try and investigate, how do you feel? And how bad is it? And we pushed the envelope of feelings. I mean, we there were moments that are raw on that stage, as you saw, mm-hmm. just raw mm-hmm. emotion. And Shakespeare wrote it all. He wrote it all. He's like the conductor of the play.
And the director is Barbara Gaines. Barbara is here in studio. Hamlet on stage at Shakespeare Theater, at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier, running through June 9th. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation with Barbara Gaines here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Kind of a show loosely based on the theme of performance without talking about Hamlet.
Right.
Barbara Gaines is here. She's the artistic director at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. She's also the director of Hamlet, which is on stage till June 9th. This is the 20th anniversary of being out at Navy mm-hmm. Pier, which is great. And to think that the last time you did Hamlet, it was at the Ruth Page Center? What was that where it
That's
was?
That's where it was, yeah. And to me, it was all about romance. Just get a sexy Hamlet and we'll just do a great show. And it was wonderful. We had some great actors in that one, too.
For you, when you think of the play as a blank slate and you can do anything you want to do with it, and you decide on what you want to do based on, you know, as you talk to listening to the music and how you want to approach the characters, when you start to getting to the point of staging it, obviously in 2019 and at the theater you have at Navy Pier, it's state of the art. You can do anything. You do projections, you can do controlled rain, you can do whatever. But it made me think when I was watching it, I'm like, I wonder how Barbara did this back in 1998 or whatever what it was. Like, what kind of limitations did you push through to be able to do?
Well, we didn't have a
Hamlet.
Penny. We didn't have a penny to our name. But I mean, what we did, I'll tell you one thing that was sort of easier at Ruth Page than here. Now that we have more prominence, there you could get away with murder. I mean, I remember we had live fire on stage. I mean, nobody was coming, so why not? We did all sorts of things, you know, 25, 30 years ago that really we could never do. Because we follow every rule. We, you know,
yeah, you
city
have to,
code.
Right, right.
We're just like law-abiding.
The price of fame.
Right. That's right. Took away some
the rules.
Fun.
Right.
But, you know, artists, limitations are important for all artists, because some of the worst shows I've ever seen had, you know, tens of millions of dollars of budget dollars, and they were awful. They were just boring and awful. And, you know, so all of us in not-for-profit world, really not-for-profit, we have to make up things that don't cost that much.
But that's the beauty of theater. And I think that's what that is at the pulse of it, is this idea that you have to put a world on the stage.
Right.
And by putting the world on the stage, you have to come up with creative ways to tell that story. In this case, you have the king, who's the ghost and the famed king in Hamlet, is a projection, and it's a video projection. It's not unlike the kind of technology you might see at the down in Millennium Park with the fountains. But this idea that you are seeing a face and an actor, and it is much different than the Hamlets I've seen in the past.
Yeah, you know why? I've always been bored. I bore very easily. I do. I'm ashamed to say it. And I've been bored by all the ghosts I've seen, even my own, the first time around at Ruth Page. And I figured, how can we do it so it would indeed be terrifying? Because all the language is terrifying language. These big soldiers are scared to death.
Yeah, right.
And I thought, I have to make him huge. I have to make him, he has to be three times as big, this ghost, as the people on the stage. And lucky we have a tall proscenium arch. And so we just got black scrim. And we have brilliant people at the theater, from Chris Plevin to Jeffrey Glass, and the whole team of people that worked this summer to see on testing all of this. And, I said, all I know is the projection, when I was talking to them, is that the projection is on this fog. So it's constantly moving and changing. And then we have Mike Tutai, who is like this astounding projectionist. And he made my ideas so much better than my ideas.
The relationship you have to have with your staff when you're a director, because your idea, you say, I want it to rain, but I want it to rain just on the grave, or I want this projection to be 3 feet tall, or whatever it might be, or
no,
30
feet
tall.
30 feet tall.
30 feet tall, of course. Yeah. But in some plays, you'll get a technical person who will roll their eyes and say, that's impossible. How important is the staff when you're coming to them with ideas and how you want to stage something?
They're like 99%. And ideas are cheap, but people that can figure them out, the physics of it. I mean, just the physics of, it's beyond me. It is beyond my comprehension what they do to make the magic. But they're tenacious and they're fun to work with. And when I started seeing it in dress rehearsals, I realized I was the luckiest person in the world, because dreams can come true, on our stages.
Yeah. The other big, I would think, huge part of the show is the cast. The cast, and Larry Yonda's in it, Mike Nussbaum is in it.
At 95.
Yeah, Karen Aldridge is in it. These are all, if you are a Chicago theater goer, these are the veterans of Chicago theater, the kind that you wouldn't be surprised to see them on Broadway tomorrow or back in Chicago, other places. There's a comfortability, of course, having them in this show, and they help out Maurice, who is the Hamlet in his debut at Chicago Shakes, who's amazing. I thought he was great. But there is something, I don't know, as an audience member, and I've seen those actors, I'm comfortable with them. I recognize how comfortable they are with the text. It really does help the show that you have these great Chicago actors.
Oh, it does. Well, I mean, we say Chicago actors, but they're world-class actors, right? And I've known Mike Nussbaum. He gave me my first job as an actress. I'm not going to tell you how many decades ago it was, but he's directed me several times, years ago. And, I mean, at 95 years old, there he is walking on stage and cracking the audience up with his comments about living and dying.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the gravedigger.
It's great. He's
and
a gravedigger.
You have his partner as the second gravedigger, who's called in Shakespeare's text the other, is Greg Winkler, who has played Lear for me. I mean, there's nothing like the repertory company that is Chicago theater.
And it's really great, too, because you're right. There's almost like a want to put a smattering of applause when some of the repertoire comes on stage. When they come on and they're playing the king, or they're playing Horatio, or they might be playing his mom. Whatever it might be, you're like,
I know. There they are, and we can relax. Right. They're going to be sensational. Right. Yeah, right. Sean Krill is
like
great.
Like when the players come on, when all the actors come on, you're like,
I know them.
It's good.
Good. I'm glad you like them. Well, they're the reason this show is such a success.
So tonight's theme, I want to take a break and get to the news on time. When we come back, I want to talk about tonight's theme, which is about performance and about all the anxiety and fears that come along with it. At the beginning of the show, we had a story about some amateurs who've never done it before, and they're taking a class called the Fear Experiment, where they get up and for 2 months they learn a Broadway musical number, and they're going to perform it this weekend at the Park West. And it's all really about the cathartic journey to get there. It's not really about what happens on Saturday. But I want to talk to you about your career in performance and all those fears and all the emotion that goes in and out of it, both as a performer and a director. Barbara Gaines, my guest, she's the director of Hamlet, which is on stage at Chicago Shakespeare Theater, running through June 9th. A great show. I saw it today. We'll continue the conversation right after the news here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Thanks, Don. It's Extension 720. I'm Justin Coffin. Barbara Gaines here in studio, the artistic director of Chicago Shakespeare Theater. It's also the director of Hamlet, which is on stage till June 9th over at the theater. 20 years. A Navy pier. Does it blow your mind? I remember when you guys moved in.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. It's wild. And it just gone by in a quarter of a second.
What is it like to be a destination?
You mean on Navy Pier?
Yeah. Your destination theater.
There are just millions of people all around, and many of them don't even come into the theater. It's very frustrating. Well, should we have somebody dressed up as Shakespeare? Come on in.
That's such a theater. That's your theater blood.
Right.
You see all those people and you're like, I got to get a flyer on them.
Yeah, we all want to get our hands on them. Move in.
It's just such a, when it was designed, I mean, this would have been Mayor Daley. He brought you guys in. It was the redo of Navy Pier. And there was, they really wanted to make it a cultural destination, not just a tourist destination. Do you think that's happened?
You know what? I think it has. I mean, I think we've had a lot to do with it, of course. And there are certainly, the Children's Museum is a great place, and and it's more beautiful now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And Mayor Daley saw us at the Ruth Page Theater, and he really instigated this move. And he was there the other night for the opening of Hamlet, and I said in front of everybody, if it weren't for this man, we would not be here together now.
We've talked about this before, but, a city goes as far as its institutions. And for Chicago, there seems to be an investment and at least an appreciation of their institutions, namely when it comes to the artistic institutions. Theaters, there will be a move for a tourist destination downtown on Randolph Street, but there it will always be a love for Shakespeare, for Goodman, for Steppenwolf, for the theaters that are Chicago. What do you think that is?
Well, let me just say one thing first. I think it's a phenomenal public. I think that the people of this city love being entertained, and they have a very high standard for their entertainment, and that's outstanding. The city is culturally rich, but think about how lucky we are living here in terms of, Mayor Daley was the man who instigated the Shakespeare Theater and other theaters. Rahm Emanuel comes in, an avid theater lover, and gives many, many programs for young theaters and young artists, and things are booming theatrically because of the things that he did. And now our mayor-elect also has an interest and a love of the arts. And so I don't know another city in the world, maybe perhaps New York, but not always, that has had three mayors in a row that cherish the cultural institutions of this city. And as I was just talking earlier today, and I said, a civilization is not judged on their Dun & Bradstreet ratings. A civilization is judged by its art that it leaves, that was done for the people and by the people. And Chicago's history is rich.
It really is. It's for us here at WGN, we live that. I mean, that's Here we are right here on the Chicago River. We see your theater from outside the window. But there really is this connection to what this city is and how this city has historically kind of been made up.
Do you remember, like, the Organic Theater? Mm-hmm. And I mean, when Lincoln Avenue Theater sort of started, we were in pubs. Mike Nussbaum, talking about 95-year-old Mike Nussbaum, directed me at the Orphans Pub, you know, in an Ionesco play. I mean, think about it. So we were going to neighborhood storefronts, seeing art, watching, supporting. And the people of the last 35 years here in Chicago have seen their theater community burst forth from local, wonderful, homemade theaters into international institutions.
Obviously, there's an ebb and flow. There's an evolution to the theatrical community here in Chicago. And you will have your institutions at the top. And as you mentioned, the Lincoln Avenue Theaters.
Yeah.
There was a time when, you know, there was, as you mentioned that time, there was, you think of the 80s and the 90s and theaters that were storefronts. As a kid who's coming here at 19 years old, 20 years old, who wants to get into theater and wants to create their own thing, does that still exist for them? Can they find storefronts in different neighborhoods and make it happen?
Yes, they can. They're doing it right now. There's a wonderful theater called Definition Theater that was just given from the Neighborhood Opportunity Program of Mayor Rahm Emanuel's, $1.6 million to refurbish an old building on Cottage Grove Avenue. They do fantastic work, a wonderful group of people. And it's a dream come true.
This town has always been a town that it's not just about the actor. It's about the director. It's about the theater company. It's about the ensemble. It almost is, if you do it any other way, it's not Chicago.
That's exactly right. You've got it. You said it. It's the Cubs and the White Sox. It's about teamwork. It really is. It's about people getting together, A, to have a good time. I mean, I have to be honest. It's a family. The theater, Chicago theater family, is about having a good time and doing terrific work for the citizens of Chicago, for our friends, our families, and to inspire kids like Miles, to inspire children to have their imaginations ignited.
You know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, this is a show that we're loosely basing on the idea of performance and all everything that comes with that, the emotions that come with that. For you as an actor and as a director and an artistic director, anxiety and fear and stage fright and all that kind of stuff, you wouldn't even think is in the canon. It isn't even near Barbara Gaines. Well, how do you deal with the nerves and the emotions that go with live performance?
I'm a nervous wreck, usually. That's why. I totally understand panic attacks. I mean, I never started out to be an artistic director, so most of the time I just feel like I'm pretending. And it's true. And actors, having been an actress for 20 years, and worked with so many great ones, some of the greatest actors I've worked with have had severe anxiety attack. And every person is different, so you deal with it in many different ways. But it's the basis of it is love and trusting them and trying to give them as much of the truth of how wonderful they are. You know, it's tough. It really is. Panic is hard. Panic isn't a good place to be.
Right.
I have a friend who says fear is absolutely meaningless to life. Fear will hold you back. And it's actually an interesting subject, isn't it? Fear does hold you back. And so some of us who are reckless, I would say if you go into the arts, you are kind of reckless because we're always opening our veins, we're always jumping off of cliffs, and sometimes you land in a very hard way. And you're judged, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're judged all the time.
And if not by audiences, by critics,
absolutely.
By just the
by your peers.
By your peers, right.
But here's the thing. Everyone's going to criticize you in life. You know, there's always something to criticize. You have to be true to yourself. You have to say, what's the best I can do? What do I need to be a person of value and enjoy myself? Because I think joy is important, by the way.
There is, everyone knows performance anxiety. Yeah. Is there director's anxiety? Do you, is there a certain little niche of
always
director's anxiety when it comes to putting a show up?
Always. I'm always a nervous wreck the first day of rehearsal because I know everybody else is, and I'm a nervous wreck first preview because there's so much adrenaline that, you know, that's their first audience, and I'm always afraid that someone's going to have too much adrenaline and hurt somebody, you know, somebody's going to fall off the stage, and there's a lot of stage to fall off of. But mostly, I mean, I think anxiety, we all have to learn how to deal with it right in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the key to anxiety is breathing deeply, letting your air out slowly, and trying to not be reactive, but proactive. It takes a hell of a lot of experience to not be reactive, but if you can do that, there's a lot less anxiety in your life.
And anxiety may be the wrong word, because my question is about, it's almost baked into theater. It's baked into production. It's baked into this idea that hurry up and wait, but then, you know, up to the last moment, you're getting this performance right. You're getting the scene right. There's a lot of energy, almost frenetic energy that's everywhere. It's chaos, but it's your job as an actor, as a director, to kind of round that up. But it is part of being a theater artist.
I think you've hit it. The most important thing is not anxiety, because anxiety actually helps you create. I'm anxious all the time, but when I'm in a script, ideas start to flow. When I'm with actors, ideas start to flow, and we're doing it. And to quote a line from Troilus and Cressida, your favorite play, she says, "Joy's soul, the soul of joy, Joel's soul lies in the doing." And so I can release my anxiety while I'm doing something. Anxiety helps you. It's important, or wouldn't life be boring,
right,
if we didn't have it?
Pete and I will talk about this a lot on just getting this show together, that the rush of trying to hit the deadline and putting all the editing and the pieces together, the process is what we enjoy. The process is what it is. The performances as well, but the process is what you live for.
I agree. You know, it's a family. Here at WGM, it's a family. It's a family at Chicago Shakespeare, and probably every theater from Broadway to the smallest Hamlet, you know, in town. No pun intended. The world is a tough place. We have a lot of lessons to learn here, and the arts, especially, are welcoming to all. You know, the more different you are, we open our arms wider, and that's a great metaphor.
We'll wrap it up with Hamlet, because I want to get back to the show. The one thing today that I was surprised by, and I know the text, and I know the show, but there are so many famous scenes in this show. There are so many to be or not to be moments where you're like, oh yeah,
it's from
like
here,
this is from this. For you as a director and someone who knows the text and is putting on a new show, do you recognize that? Do you plan to play to the nostalgia or the what do you call it, the knowledge or the wisdom of the audience that's seeing the play?
You never try and do that, never. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can do is to try and find the truth of the moment. I mean, give you a line. You know, everybody knows the line, "There's something rotten in the state of Denmark."
Mm-hmm.
And I kept wondering, how is Kevin Goodall going to do that? How is he going to do it? And, you know, he was backed away from it in the rehearsal room. But once he got into his costume and once he started performing on that stage, he's so upset that the state is rotten, that you don't even, you know, it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes it all new.
To you, because you know the text and you know the play so well, this is probably not an issue. For me, I found myself, when you would get to that famous, whether it was the grave digger scene or the to be or not to be, it was the text that surrounded it. Because you have these famous lines where you're like, oh, I know that. And then five lines later, you're like, oh, that's usually not with that quote, and that make now you understand why they're together. There seems to be a joy in delivering the entire scene in context, as opposed to just the stuff that's been pulled out in pop culture.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, there you have it. Alas, poor York. I knew him, Horatio. You know, I rode on his back. I kissed these lips.
It's so
quite
good.
Chop fallen, yeah, as he looks at the skull, right?
Right.
It's amazing. And you know what? In this show, I don't know how much time we have, there's one line that I didn't even know existed in the play. I know I've done it before, but I never saw it. I never felt it. And it's right after the ghost is seen, right? And Horatio and Hamlet are there, and that giant ghost. And the guys are terrified. And Horatio, Sean Creel, says, "'Tis wondrous strange." And Hamlet replies, "And therefore, as a stranger, we must give it welcome."
Yeah.
And you think about the horrors of the immigration situation right now across the world. Mm. And I just love, "Therefore, as a stranger, we must give him welcome."
We could do another yeah. hour on all the things that Shakespeare relates to and the things that are happening around us. We'll save that for another conversation, and there will be another one. Barbara Gaines, the artistic director at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. She's the director of Hamlet, which is on stage at Chicago Shakes till June 9th at Navy Pier. Barbara, a pleasure to have you always on the program, and congrats on a great show.
And thank you for everything you do for the arts.